Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review tonight. Tonight is the night that we go over our associate's degree course, The Church, and we're on session number 7 this week of that course. This is the course number 3 of our associate's degree in Christian Theology program. This session will help us to understand how and why we are to evangelize the world, which involves opposing evil, announcing the gospel, as well as sending and supporting workers. So as we pray in preparation for this week's lesson, I hope that you have the study materials with you. For those of you who have already studied this lesson, this will be a review to go over some of the major points of this lesson. And so as you get your materials and your note-taking materials ready, let us prepare through prayer. We're going to get personal preparation now for us to teach as well as to learn from this lesson. We're going to seek God to help us to prepare to understand and grasp the important lessons that we learned in this week's lesson about how to reach the lost. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to search our heart regarding our own obedience to Christ's command that was given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And I want each and every one of you to pray for renewed commitment to lead others to Christ and to disciple them. So right now, students, let us go before the throne of grace, asking God for his tender mercies upon us as we study his word. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we praise you. We thank you for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon us with a fresh fire tonight, that we will all catch the vision for personal evangelism. Help us to realize how essential this is to the growth of your church, both spiritually, geographically, as well as numerically. Holy Spirit, open our eyes of understanding and give us a passion for God's word. Help us to walk in obedience and truthfulness. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. Tonight we're on session number 7 of the course, The Church, and this session is entitled, What the Church Does for the World. Now, I'd like to comment that the focus of our last two lessons was on the believer's responsibility to other believers. By contrast, the focus of this lesson is on the believer's responsibility to unbelievers. And I want you to make note of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, which is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Let's read that quickly, and then we'll get a little more about our introduction for this week's lesson. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20 from the New International Version reads, Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So if we take a look at that scripture, it is the mandate for all believers in Christ Jesus. And I like to explain that the New Testament fellowship or the New Testament church's emphasis was outward as well as inward. And if you look at the story of a small church that may decide to hold an evangelistic campaign to reach your community, they do that because they realize that it is not only important what takes place among the believers, but it is also what takes place as our witness to the rest of the world. And so we must realize that if we are going to be the salt and light of the earth, as Jesus described his church, we must face the realization that we should be encountering those who are unsaved or unbelievers. Tragically, a lot of churches cut themselves off from the very people with whom they say they want to reach. Think about this quotation for a moment. Fellowship which exists for nothing but its own satisfaction will wither. The Christian church is the only society in the world which exists for the benefit of those who are not members, because it always reaches beyond itself to those still outside of its fellowship. The church has got to leave its own secure borders and move out into the world. Because if there's no such outward movement, then the fellowship is stagnant. The spirit is quenched and withdraws himself. And the deposit of religiosity that is left becomes a purification in the lives of those who have grieved God. That comes from a passage of a book entitled Living in the Family by Jerry Horner. I want you to evaluate yourself in light of that quote, that the church is the only society in the world which exists for the benefit of those who are not members. So this lesson talks about four key areas of what the church does for the world. And if you're taking notes with us, here are the four points that we're going to review today. The first point is that believers oppose evil. Secondly, believers announce the gospel. Third, believers send workers. And fourthly, believers support workers. Those are the four major topics of this particular lesson. So let's begin with our first topic, which is believers oppose evil. Our first objective asks us to explain how believers can oppose evil. Now, if you have your note-taking material, I want you to make note of Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And you'll see what Paul says to the church in Rome, which is also relevant to what we need to understand today if we're going to be useful or effective in opposing the evil that exists in our world. Matthew chapter 1, we'll see at verse 13, it reads, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but was prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the Gentiles. Verse 14, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. So if you think about that particular portion of Scripture, let's ask this question. Why does Paul feel that he has an obligation to present the gospel to the Romans? If we think about what the word obligated means, the word could very well be translated, I'm in debt or indebted to Christ to share this gospel with them. So we see that Paul knew that God had revealed the gospel to him not just for his own benefit, though certainly it was, but it was also for the benefit of others. And we also need to realize that we're not saved for ourselves. We're saved for others. We're saved for Christ's sake, for the kingdom's sake. And this is why we must proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, as Paul felt indebted to share it with both Greeks as well as non-Greeks. For illustration, let's think about this. If we were to receive the priceless gift of the gospel with all the blessings that come with it, it is like receiving a huge amount of money that we are to hold in trust for someone until they come of age. And until we give the money to this person, we are in the debt or under obligation to the person who gave us the money. We are not free from obligation until we pass the money, in this case, or pass the gospel forward. So it is as our obligation to share the gospel with those who have not heard. I also like to comment that we also see accompanying Paul's sense of obligation was a real enthusiasm. You see, if we receive something of great value, students, it is only natural for us to tell others about our good fortune. The word gospel means good news. If it really is good news to you, it'd be very difficult to keep to yourself. So I want to summarize some of how we oppose evil and why it is that we have this obligation to share the gospel. If we think about or summarize the discussion that was mentioned in your study guide about Christians acting as salt and light that is found on page 88 of your study guide, I'd like to emphasize that the presence of salt or light changes whatever it comes into contact with. So it is or should be with us as Christians. Our lives, our attitudes, our actions, our words ought to exert a godly influence upon those with whom we come into contact. You or some of our other students may want to share an example of how your presence at work has changed the conversation or behavior of your coworker. And if you look at the story of Nikki on page 89 in your study guide, you'll see the tremendous change that came into his life when someone shared the good news of the gospel with him. And finally, students, as we look at this first objective, I'd like to explain that there is a second way that we as Christians can restrain evil. Besides sharing the gospel with those who haven't heard, a second way we can restrain or oppose evil in this world is by our prayers. And a powerful illustration of how our prayers can oppose evil in the world is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 22-33. Go ahead and make note of that, Genesis chapter 18, verses 22-33. If you haven't already read that, go ahead and read it. You'll see where that portion of Scripture makes note of how Abraham is talking to the Lord in this verse. And we'll see that the conversation that Abraham was having with God concerned Lot living in Sodom and God's intention to destroy Sodom. Now, what this prayer teaches us is some of these vital truths, that it is our responsibility, just as Abram felt it was his responsibility to pray for Lot. It is our responsibility as believers to unbelievers as well, even to those who have backslidden. So let me ask you these questions. Thinking about that portion of Scripture, what was Abraham's role in the saving of Lot and his family? If you see your study guide explained, as well as those scriptures in proper context shows us, that the Lord went out of his way to invite Abraham to pray for Lot's rescue. God did not have to reveal to Abram what his intentions was for Sodom, but he revealed it to Abram in order to allow Abram to intercede for Lot as well as for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we see that Abraham prayed and his prayer was answered. A second question we can think about in relation to that scripture is, what do you suppose would have happened if Abraham had written Lot off as a hopeless case? Would the lesson pointed you to the fact that Abraham would not have been involved in the God saving of Lot? See, the privilege that we have is that God allows us to participate with him in his mission of salvation for humanity, which is why we are saved in order to be used as an instrument of salvation for others. So God uses those who are willing vessels. A third question we can ask in relation to this scripture is, what does this episode tell us about the power of intercessory prayer? And we can see a reference from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 that says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." So in this first section of our lesson, session number 7, which is what the church does for the world, we see that believers oppose evil by, 1, sharing the gospel, and 2, through intercessory prayer for unbelievers. Our second major heading and objective for this study review is that believers announce the gospel or announce the good news. So our second objective of our course acts up to define the word evangelism or the word evangelize. Now, if you were to refer to Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, you'll see where Paul writes about the duties of Christians. He says, "Become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." If you haven't already read that scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. There's some things that we can notice from this particular portion of scripture. We can observe that Paul refers to the Philippian believers as children of God, that is, as saints. So as children of God, we are to live like children of God by becoming blameless and pure, without fault, and shining like stars. Now note, when Paul says blameless and pure and without fault, he does not mean sinless perfection, but what he means is that we should have a heart devoted to God and to doing God's will. Now, we have a visual aid for this particular portion of our scripture lesson. If you're studying by different vindication, you can contact us for this visual aid, and as we often try to do, we'll try to post it on our Facebook page. But this visual aid is emphasizing what Paul emphasized with the church in Philippi about us shining as light in darkness. So the illustration is a city skyline with the stars in the sky representing how we penetrate the darkness as we shine like stars, offering or holding out, as Paul says, the message of life. So we are to offer the message of life to a world as stars. This is Paul mentioned in this lesson to the church in Philippi. And I pray that we will all assume our rightful responsibility as God uses us as we yield ourselves to him to announce the gospel. I also like to explain to you that when we shine like stars, it is because the world is a dark place, spiritually speaking, and our presence in it as Christians forms as sharp a contrast as stars shining at night. In fact, students, our mere presence in a dark place should make a great difference. And also like to explain that shining like stars and living like children of God, as Paul talks about, involves verbally sharing our testimony with others as we have opportunity. And this happens because each time we share our testimony with others, we are engaged in evangelism, which is proclaiming the good news of the gospel. So let me ask you this question. What is the connection between living a godly life and holding out the word of life? Well, the answer that your study guide alluded to is that the world and the people in the world equate the message with the messenger. Therefore, students, our walk must correspond to our talk. And we also want to stress that Jesus has commanded all his followers to preach the gospel. Now, true, it is true that he has specifically called and gifted some to do this full-time into the office of ministry. but working alongside of those who are called to the office of gifts of ministry are millions of believers who are reaching people that those who are in full-time or in ordained ministry will never be able to reach. So each of us has been called and gifted to do our part in announcing the gospel to the world. And one final comment I want to make about this section here is that God is committed to having his church grow, both spiritually, geographically, as well as numerically. Of course, the first and most important type of growth is spiritual growth, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Son, of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We can recall Jesus' words when he said, "I will build my church." So we see that growth is normal. And as we are representing Christ's church in the earth, the church should continue to grow, just as it did in the book of Acts. It says, daily the Lord added to the church those that were being saved. So if the church is healthy, it is going to grow. It will be unified. We will have fellowship with one another. We will have a burden for the lost at home as well as abroad. We will have programs designed to reach the people of the community. We will engage in prayer, worship, as well as the preaching and teaching of God's word. So that is the second major heading about what the church does for the world. So far, we see that we are to oppose evil, and we are to announce the gospel. The third major heading of this lesson is believers send out workers. We send out workers. Let's talk about that third objective, which asks us to explain why workers must be sent out of the church. Now, this is our second visual aid, which talks about the commissioning words of Jesus. So it has an image of a world map, and it's given us several scripture verses that talks about the commission that we have received to go into the world. There are four examples I'm going to give you of scripture. You can write these down if you like. The first example of the commissioning words of Jesus is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, where it reads, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." A second example is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Again, we find an example in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, which we read earlier, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." In the fourth and final example of scripture of the commissioning words of Jesus is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So at the bottom of the illustration, it shows the global map, and it says, go. And so this is the section that talks about how believers send workers out. So let me ask you this question. What do all four of the passages that I mentioned to you have in common? You notice that all contain the idea that all nations or creation must and will hear the good news. So we see Christ's commission to the church, that is to believers individually and collectively, is to spread the good news to all peoples everywhere. And this is how Christ is building his church today. We can also see that Jesus knew that if left to ourselves, we would make little headway. So he promised the power of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts 1 and 8. It is the Holy Spirit that inspires, directs, and strengthens us to do what we could not possibly do alone. in carrying out Jesus' great commission that we read about. I also want to refer you to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, which gives us a model of how a church can be a sending church. I want you to review the three principles that it talks about in your study guide on page 93. And one of the things that you will observe as you review that section of your lesson is that one of the most exciting things that can happen to a church as it grows is to send its members into the mission field. So if your church or a local congregation has such a legacy, you want to thank God for that. If not, you want to pray for God to be able to raise up those within your local church that God can send forth. If you see Acts chapter 13, it talks about how the church in Antioch was together and praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said to set aside Paul and Silas for the work that he had called him to do. Look at our fourth objective quickly. So far we see that believers are to oppose evil, we are to announce the gospel, we are to send workers, and then fourthly, we're to support the workers. So we talked about the kinds of support that should be given to those who are sent out by the church. We must offer prayer support. We need to offer financial support. And we need to understand, again, how exciting it is to know that we are playing a part in accomplishing Jesus' great commission. So let's be careful to pray and to send as well as support those that God calls us to send out into the world. And finally, as we close out this lesson review, I want you to write down the name of at least one unsaved friend or neighbor. And I want you to pray for that person, asking the Lord for two things. One, for an opportunity soon to share your testimony with that person. And secondly, that God prepares that person's heart to respond positively to your wish. So we thank God for giving us this opportunity to study His Word tonight. Tonight we've looked at Session 7 of the Course of the Church, which is entitled, What the Church Does for the World. We looked at four major things that we are to do. And again, those are to oppose evil by sharing the good news and through prayer. We are to announce the gospel to every people group. We are to send forth workers, and we are to support those workers that are sent out. So, programs that are part of our local churches, those that are active and those that will become active as a result of this message. So, Christ, by your power and by your Spirit, empower us with the words of your commission to preach the gospel to all nations. And we thank you for the power to do so. In Jesus' master's name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, students, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home. We look forward to our next session. And in the meantime, God bless you richly and good night.